there's a better place to get your podcasts. GCNLive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNLive.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, good evening. Welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. Jim Paris here with you. The website is ChristianMoney.com, and we have a fascinating guest in this hour. His name is Dan Harris. If you watch television news, if you watch ABC News, you no doubt know who he is. He's one of their anchors, and he joins us tonight to talk about his book, which came out almost a year ago. This is how cutting edge we are. We're just booking him to come on now, but it's a fantastic book. It's called 10% Happier. Dan Harris, welcome to Jim Paris Live.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, I have to first start by saying I love these pictures of you with your new baby on the internet. That must be wonderful.
It's great. He's 8 weeks old tomorrow, it's been a blast. It's been an absolute blast.
At a point.
We fought long and hard to have a baby, so it's worth it.
That's just so wonderful. I could just see the look on your face. I was there 25 years ago when we had our first child, and my kids are now graduating from college and going on with their careers and all that. So I'm at a different station in life than you are. So I'm rooting right now for grandkids. So we're in a little bit of a different station, but in life. But wow, I really enjoyed your book, and you're a really interesting guy. I wanted to start by asking you to give us the backstory about how you reached this point that you determined that something had to change in your life, and you started getting into the world of self-help.
So I had a panic attack on national television about 10 years ago. I was just anchoring the news updates on Good Morning America. That's the guy who comes on the top of every hour and reads a series of headlines. And I was a couple seconds into my spiel when I was overtaken by this big bolt of fear. My heart was racing, my palms were sweating, my mouth dried up, my lungs seized up. I couldn't talk. So I had to quit right in the middle, which was very embarrassing and very scary. And afterwards, I went to a shrink to try to get to the bottom of it. And he asked me a series of questions, trying to diagnose the problem. And one of the questions he asked was, do you do drugs? And I kind of sheepishly said, yes, I do. And he leaned back in his chair and gave me a look that said, okay, idiot, mystery solved. So there's a little bit of a backstory here, which is that I arrived at ABC News 15 years ago as a 28-year-old, ambitious, eager, but green cub reporter, and I was working with all these giants like Peter Jennings and Diane Sawyer and Barbara Walters, and shortly after I arrived, 9/11 happened, and I raised my hand to go cover whatever happened next, really kind of a lot of it out of ambition and wanting to prove myself, and I really didn't think very hard about what psychological consequences might come about. And when I spent many years in places like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Israel, the West Bank, Gaza, Iraq, and when I came home from one particularly long trip in Iraq, I got depressed and very, very stupidly self-medicated with recreational drugs, and including cocaine and ecstasy. And the doctor explained to me that even though my drug use was reasonably sporadic, it was enough to artificially raise the level of adrenaline in my brain and prime me to have that panic attack. And that, in that moment, when I realized how dumb I'd been, I knew I had to make some changes.
Now, I don't know if you mentioned this in the book or not. We got the book late, so I didn't get a chance to read every single section of it. But I remember in one of the interviews, you had mentioned to your mother that you were going to write a book like this and tell your story. And what was it she said to you?
Well, you know, at first she was cool with it. And you know, I should say I'm very close with my mom and my dad. And at first they were cool with it. They read the book and had a few notes, but nothing too severe. But then a couple of weeks before the book came out, my mother got cold feet and sent me an anguished email begging me not to publish the book. And, you know, at this point, the book was already printed and sitting in a warehouse somewhere. But because I respect my mother so much, I really took it seriously. I kind of freaked out, frankly, and I considered pulling the book from publication. And as it happened, I had a meeting that day, two meetings, one with Diane Sawyer, the other with Ben Sherwood, who at the time was the head of ABC News. And they both said the same thing, which was, we love your mom, but she's wrong, and we're going to have your back, and you're doing the right thing. Don't worry about it. And I'm glad I took their advice.
Yeah, it seems like we're in a different climate today. Do you think that Americans, that we want to know more about our news anchors, like this whole ordeal that's going on with Brian Williams? Sorry for the guy. It's like who hasn't come out yet to throw him under the bus? The Pope is probably the only person that hasn't come out yet against Brian Williams. Is this something new that we want to know all about, you folks that deliver the news to us, the backstory? We didn't know everything about Walter Cronkite, for example. Is this kind of a new phenomenon that we want to get to know you more personally?
I think so, but I wouldn't call myself an expert on the evolution of this. You know, I don't know when it started, but I think it is the case that the personal lives of people in the media have become more interesting. But, you know, I mean, while we didn't know every jot and tittle of Walter Cronkite's personal life, but he was the anchor, you know, he went on and wrote a memoir, as did most major journalists of that era. So it's not, you know, completely brand new, but I do think we are in a different era, you know, where even, you know, the president of the United States has admitted to doing cocaine, and his predecessor famously said, when I was young and irresponsible, I was young and irresponsible. And he was, you know, obviously struggled with alcohol until, you know, reasonably late in his life. So I think we're in an era where people, public figures of all stripes, are more forthcoming about their personal life, because that's just the nature of modern American life in the age of the internet.
It might have started with Katie Couric's live colonoscopy on television.
That certainly was an invasive example,
for sure. I'm not sure that I'm ready to be that public. Not quite sure. But I have to tell you, I really admire you taking the step to write this book, because I know it's going to help so many people, not only to just have some super successful guy like you come out and say, hey, my life is not perfect, but here's what I went through, here's the backstory, and here's what I did to find peace. And I have to tell you, you may have missed your calling. I saw a video of you today speaking at Google. And you were absolutely hilarious, and just as a contemporaneous speaker, I mean, you were just fantastic. I've been around a lot of news people, and without a teleprompter, they can't really put a sentence together. But you were quite the guy at the Google presentation you did. I saw that today on the internet, and it was hilarious, and it was just wonderful. When was that? Was that last year you did that appearance at Google?
I think it was in the fall. Thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate it. I think it was in the fall. I'll be honest, I tell the same jokes every time. So, if you saw me twice, you wouldn't think that was so funny. but, you know, I kind of have my shtick down at this point. But, you know, just to pick up on what you were saying about public disclosures, I was uncomfortable beyond just what happened with my mom. I mean, I was uncomfortable with the notion of disclosing this much about myself because we're not used to being the story. But
All right, Dan, we're going to hold you right there. Yep. We got a break coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk more about 10% Happier. And also, Ted Haggard, the disgraced minister, is mentioned in this book. We'll get into that as well. Stay tuned.
He became a millionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy, losing it all by the age of 40. The amazing story of one man driven to the brink of death after becoming the victim of an embezzlement scheme. After planning his own suicide, he turned to God and discovered a secret so powerful that it changed his life forever. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle is more than just one man's story of beating the odds and rebuilding his life after a total financial collapse. It's a book that reveals a life-changing prayer method that anyone can use to find hope during life's darkest financial trials. You will learn how to enlist God's help in solving your financial problems, the biggest prayer mistake most people make when approaching God with a financial need, how prayer can provide you with immediate answers and direction to your most pressing financial issues, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, an Amazon.com bestseller from James L. Paris, the editor of ChristianMoney.com. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, available in paperback or for Kindle from Amazon.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms. I get it. You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hey, guess what? They've got some great deals for Valentine's Day at Guns80.com. They're calling it the Sweetheart Special. Guns80.com has lowered the price way down to $400 up until Valentine's Day. Order your Ghost AR-15 now. Tell your sweetheart that this is the right gift at the right time. Buy one for yourself. Buy one for your sweetheart, too. Your sweetheart will thank you for being so tuned into his or her needs. Get a brand new Ghost AR-15 right now for $400. Heck, buy two. His and hers. Go to Guns80.com or call and ask for the Sweetheart Deal. Love is in the air at Guns80.com. Call now, 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. It's a sweetheart of a deal. Actually, it's a steal at $400. So call Guns80.com at 844-2-GUNS-80. But hurry, supplies are limited. Call 844-2-GUNS-80 or get your Ghost AR-15 today at Guns80.com on the web.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
We are back. My guest is Dan Harris, anchor with ABC News. Other things you may not know about Dan Harris, of course, the book is 10% Happier. You can get it at your local bookstore. You can get it at Amazon.com. It's been on all the bestsellers list forever, and it keeps selling, and everybody's talking about it, and we wanted to have him on. But other things you didn't know about him, starting with the most important, he has three cats named Steve, Gus, and George. Then we move on to what was fantastic, his Emmy Award for his Nightline report, How to Buy a Child in 10 Hours, all about child trafficking. And then that his parents are both world famous doctors. Dan, what long shadows you had to live in. My dad was an electrician and my mom was a homemaker. So when I wrote my first book, I became the family genius. Were your parents disappointed you did not solve world hunger and became a reporter?
I have no chance of becoming the family genius no matter what I do. I have a younger brother who is about 75 times smarter than me and is a venture capitalist, and my parents are both pretty successful physicians. So I mostly wear makeup and talk to cameras.
Very good. Well, you're fantastic at what you do. In fact, when we posted on Facebook a few days ago that you were confirmed as a guest, we had several people saying, wow, he's my favorite news guy. That's great that he's coming on your show. So I guess it's a confirmation for those folks that they still like me because I have Dan Harris on the broadcast. But let's talk about your reporting as a religion guy, because, of course, we are the show that emanates from ChristianMoney.com here in Florida. And of all things, you were asked to be a religion reporter, and you weren't necessarily a religious guy, if I understand the story right. So how did this happen that Peter Jennings decided to tap you as the religion reporter, and then that led you into your groundbreaking interviews with Ted Haggard?
Yeah, I mean, as you may have heard me say at Google, I was raised in the People's Republic of Massachusetts. My parents are both secular scientists. I did have a bar mitzvah, but only for the money, and so this was, you know, religion space.
That was a great line. That was a great line, by the way, the bar mitzvah. Thank but you. Only for the money.
But yes, it's a good line. Also happens to be true. So this was not at all in my wheelhouse when Peter Jennings pulled me aside and said, "You're going to cover faith and spirituality for us." I actively did not want to do it. I tried to talk my way out of it. I don't know why he picked me per se, but as you may remember, ABC News was the first to have a full-time religion correspondent, a very nice woman, Peggy Waymire, a very smart woman who decided to leave, I believe, in the early 2000s after several years at ABC News, and Peter somehow decided that I, as his protege, was going to pick up the slack and do it. When I protested, he said, "I don't care, you're going to do it anyway." And it turned out to be a great thing for me because, you know, I very quickly realized, A, that this is an extremely interesting and important topic, B, that my prejudices were, you know, just that, prejudices based in ignorance. And I made a lot of really good friends and really saw the value of having a worldview that transcends your own narrow self-interest, which was useful for me as a young and ambitious guy. So it was really one of the best things that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, I think it is interesting. And I have to say that your religion reporting was not only just so interesting, but it was very fair. And when I was looking at a clip today on YouTube of an interview you did with Ted Haggard. Now, I don't know if this was the very first one, but this interview was, I believe, a revelation that happened. This was sort of the second shoe to drop. A young man had come forward and said that he had gone to Pastor Ted Haggard to tell him about his struggles with homosexuality. And in a hotel room, Ted Haggard exposed himself to this young guy. And so I guess this was some years later, the man came out and decided to go public with this. This was after the initial fall of Ted Haggard. And you're interviewing him and you say, "Hey, so did this happen?" And he says, "Yes." I mean, you didn't have to be Sam Donaldson. This guy is very interesting to interview. He's just so honest. I mean, that's the one thing about him that I as much as he's done wrong, how many people today would just look at you and say, "Yep, I exposed myself to this young man. Was Ted always that forthright with you? And how did that make those interviews a little bit different when sort of all of the air is taken out of the room after that yes comes right away at the beginning of the interview?
Well, just by way of background, I should say, you know, I got to know Ted pretty early in my religion reporting career, well before his scandal. So I think I met him first in 2002 or something like that. He at that point wasn't even sort of the famous Ted Haggard that he was yet to become. At this point, he was the head of a big mega church in Colorado Springs, New Life Church, and when I met him, I liked him right away, and what I liked about him in particular was that he was refreshingly honest, especially when he was quite candid when the cameras were rolling, but when the cameras weren't rolling, he was really willing to give me an off-the-record, candid take on the world of evangelicalism and explain things to me that, as an outsider, I didn't fully understand. And he was really one of my best sources for many, many years. And then he became the head of the National Association of Evangelicals and became a really well-known person. He was one of the most influential evangelicals on Time magazine list. And then this crisis happened, I believe in 2006, where it came out that Ted had several assignations with a male prostitute. And that he had been using crystal meth with this man allegedly, and at first I honestly just couldn't believe it was true. I just assumed it must have been a mistake, and I told people I worked with that there is no way this is true. And lo and behold, much if not all of it was true, and Ted had to resign in disgrace, and he resurfaced a year later, and that's the interview that I believe you saw. And you know what? I certainly, you know, I'm not in a position to judge, and I'm not an active member of the Christian community. So I want to be careful in what I say here. But I will say that it was refreshing for him to be so forthcoming and to readily admit that he was a sinner and a liar and a hypocrite, and really made no defense for his actions, didn't try to talk around it. He just went right to the heart of the matter and said, I did wrong.
Well, and I'll say right here tonight, I'm a sinner, a liar, and a hypocrite. So there you go. There's your next scoop. So when I become famous, it is interesting, though, how many times my faith is Christianity, that we try to portray this as sort of the plan to live the perfect life. And of course, when most of us don't live up to that, or any of us, it becomes a reason for people to become disenchanted with the whole idea of it. But for you, was this something that kind of affected you faith-wise one way or the other? Did you say, wow, if this good guy who I was so impressed with could turn out to be a bad guy? We'll get your answer to that after the break. I hear the music. So we'll take the break. We're talking about the book 10% Happier. We're talking about the journey of Dan Harris, and we're going to get into meditation and how he actually found a solution to these panic attacks. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A reporter is plunged into the dark world of money laundering and the worldwide crime network when he stumbles across a scam so big that his life is on the line. Now the true story can finally be told. An investigation that will take you across the globe to England, Eastern Europe, Australia, Panama, Africa, and New Zealand. How an international network of money launderers got away with more than $100 million stolen from the Christian community. Exposing the Ponzi Masters is the true account of one man determined to expose the truth and the legions that tried to stop him. A story so dark that you won't believe what you are reading. A story so important it's being monitored by government agencies worldwide. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, a true crime expose from James L. Paris, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com. Exposing the Ponzi Masters, available on Kindle from Amazon.com.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the hosts you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. My guest is Dan Harris, ABC News anchor, author of 10% Happier. And I love the subtitle, How I Tamed the Voice in My Head, Reduced Stress Without Losing My Edge, and Found Self-Help That Actually Works. And Dan, we were talking about Ted Haggard, and there's a lot in the book about Ted Haggard. I'm looking at this on my Kindle version here on my computer, and I just put the word Haggard in. There's a lot in here. What was your takeaway from the whole Ted Haggard episode? Did this make you feel like, look, if Ted Haggard is a hypocrite, maybe nobody has it figured out? Did this add to your depression about life at this point?
No, no, not at all. In fact, I think Ted, for all of his flaws, was somebody who I liked and who was able to show me that despite the fact that I was not raised in an environment where I encountered a lot of people of faith, that I could have a relationship with somebody who saw the world in a very different way that I did. And because I wasn't viewing his failings through a faith lens myself, I think maybe for me I was quicker to I was not so quick to judge, let's just say, because my personal view of the world is that everybody's a screw up. Certainly his screw ups were big and loud and public, and I don't excuse them, but I didn't, his failures didn't depress me, and I'm glad to know him, frankly.
You say here in the book, the unmasking of Ted Haggard became a massive national story. There are a few things the media loves more than a self-appointed paragon of virtue falling from grace. This is the juiciest of all juicy stories, is it not? A Jimmy Swaggart, a Ted Haggard. Why is there such an appetite in particular for ministers that fall from grace as opposed to, say, politicians cheating on their wives or other people that are maybe equally held up in society as people that are supposed to be moral and people we respect? It seems like there's sort of this special love with this kind of a story, isn't there?
Well, I'm not sure that we in the media pick on ministers especially. I mean, one need look no further than Brian Williams to see that you can be a secular figure in our culture, and if you're accused of misrepresentation, people will pounce all over you. So I think it's, you know, really what the underlying phenomenon here is the media's and really the general public's infatuation with rise and fall stories. I think really that's what's going on here. But there's no question that it takes on a particular character when you've got somebody who holds himself up, as I say in the book, as a paragon of virtue.
And from what I've read, and for those listening who are supporters of Ted Haggard, I don't know Ted. I've never met Ted. I'm sure I've been at some events where he was. I've never had the opportunity to meet him. I guess he's a minister once again, according to what I was able to find on the internet, that he's back in ministry. It was interesting, though, this HBO show that they did, where after his severance ran out, he and his family lived in pay by the week hotels, and it was bizarre what happened to him. Do you still stay in touch with him? Were you in touch with him or reporting on any of the crises that he was going through after he ended up in that HBO show?
Oh yeah, I haven't talked to him in maybe a year or so, but I sent him the book so that he could see it, and I fact checked. I checked my facts and my quotes with him to make sure everything was up to snuff. And you're right. You know, after his scandal, he was living in Arizona and selling insurance door to door, living hand to mouth, really. And then he ultimately went back to Colorado Springs, where he did in fact go into ministry, and I believe made a brief cameo on the TV show Celebrity White Swap. So he continues to lead an interesting life.
Yeah, I remember him being on that show. And for folks that don't know what that show is, it's where your wife exchanges with someone else's wife. It's not a sexual thing, guys. What it's about is like you'll have a wife that will come into the house and whip the kids into shape, and maybe the other wife was more of an enabler with the kids, and now they bring in a tough wife. So the wife switches only to kind of take over that role of like the kids and the house and all that. I don't even think that's been on for years, but yeah, who was it?
Gary Busey.
Oh my goodness. It's sort of like back in the day, people like Gary Busey would end up on like Love American Style or on The Love Boat. But this is where those people end up today on shows like Wife Swap. All right. Now, your book, let's get to the meat of it here, and we're going to open up and take some phone calls here in our last segment. So stay tuned, folks, for me to give out the phone number. We'll also take questions by email. If I get it here, we spend most of our life looking ahead and thinking about the past, looking ahead, thinking about the past. We don't spend a lot of time just saying, wow, I'm sitting out here on my deck with my dogs and it's a beautiful day, and I'm sitting here with my wife, and we're just having a great time in this moment. Is that the point of the book? Is that we get ourselves whipped up into a frenzy over regrets about the past and fears of the future?
Yeah. So for me, the turning point after having had the panic attack and then being assigned to cover religion and meeting a lot of interesting people, including Ted Haggard, in 2008, many years after the panic attack and many years after being assigned to cover religion, one of my producers recommended I read a self-help book by a guy named Eckhart Tolle, who I had never heard of, but is a mega best-selling self-help writer. And I picked up the book because we were thinking about interviewing him. And at first I thought the book was complete garbage. is filled with all this pseudoscience and grandiose claims about spiritual awakening, et cetera, et cetera. And then totally started to unfurl a thesis about the human condition that I personally had never heard before that I felt was very interesting, and you were just describing it, which is that we all have a voice in our head, by which Tolle is not referring to schizophrenia or hearing voices. He's talking about your inner narrator, the inner you that chases you out of bed in the morning, is yammering at you all day long, has you constantly wanting stuff or not wanting stuff, comparing yourself to other people, judging yourself harshly, thinking about the past or thinking about the future to the detriment of whatever's happening right now. And that when you're unaware of this nonstop conversation you're having with yourself, it yanks you around. It's why we're eating when we're not hungry, or checking our email when our kid's trying to talk to us, or losing our temper when it's strategically unwise. And for me, this was a huge aha moment, because I realized that A, this is just intuitively true, and B, it explained the most embarrassing moment of my life. It's why I, you know, went to war zones without thinking about the consequences, came home, got depressed without even really knowing it, and then blindly self-medicated with recreational drugs. So that was the good news. The bad news is that much of what Tolle says is incomprehensible and just didn't really offer any practical advice for dealing with the voice in the head. But that was really the moment for me that I started to get a sense of, this is the direction I want to go in.
Now, when you talk about meditation in the book, this is a word that I know, like within Christian circles, it's very controversial. I was just doing a Google search this afternoon, and there are a lot of, for example, people of faith who think, wow, you're like praying to Buddha if you meditate. And then there are others that point out that, look, in the Bible, it talks about meditation. In your view of meditation, can we say it's prayer? Can we say it's sitting quietly, just kind of clearing your mind and just relaxing your mind? What is meditation?
Here's the way to think about it. Think about it like exercise for your brain. It is not prayer, although it may improve your prayer life, because it may turn down the volume on your internal chatter so that you can focus more intently on the direction of your prayer. It is a secular activity, and it can work for people of faith or people of no faith.
We're going to hold you right there, Dan. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines. We'll take questions. The email, jim@christianmoney.com, jim@christianmoney.com. We'll give you the phone number when we come back. Our last segment with Dan Harris, the book, 10% Happier. Hi, this is Jim Paris, radio talk show host and editor of the website, christianmoney.com. You may know me from my numerous appearances on the 700 Club. I was a multimillionaire by the age of 30, but ended up in bankruptcy by the age of 40. What I learned during my financial collapse was a revolutionary new way of praying for my finances, and it's revealed in my brand new book, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. Now, the book has been endorsed by Dave Ramsey, former vice presidential candidate Wayne Allen Root, TV radio talk show host George Norrie, and countless others. I want to send you a free 48-minute audio overview of the book. All I need you to do is call my office and leave your email address on my voicemail. The number to dial, 888-427-8755. 888-427-8755. Again, 888-427-8755.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows, pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
Okay, we are back. This is our final segment with Dan Harris, and I'm sure he's glad to hear that because he has an 8-week-old baby to get back to here shortly, and three cats, I might add. Our phone number is 877-317-6432. If you're listening to us on a Sunday night, between 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern, that's when we're live. So if you're listening and it's 10:47 Eastern or whatever your time zone is, you are listening live. You can call us right now. Your questions for Dan Harris, 877-317-6432, 877-317-6432, or your questions by email to jim@christianmoney.com. Please include your city when you send your email, jim@christianmoney.com. All right, before we go to listener questions, Dan, finish what you were saying about what meditation is and it's not. And if somebody wants to explore this, like to learn how to meditate, where do you go to learn how to meditate?
Very easy. First of all, meditation has been around for thousands of years. It's part of the mystical traditions of Christianity, Judaism, and lots of great religions. The kind of meditation I do is called mindfulness meditation, which is completely secular exercise for your brain that helps you boost your focus and helps you be less yanked around by your emotions. And it is practiced by people of all sorts of religions and people of no religion whatsoever. And to get started, it's very simple. I made a Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/DanHarrisABC. You can go to the Getting Started tab on that page, or you can just Google mindfulness meditation or mindfulness-based stress reduction. And most major cities have classes you can go to, or you can get the instructions right on the internet. It's an extremely simple thing to do. It should cost you no money or very little money. It doesn't require you to believe in anything or to wear any special outfits or pay any fees or join a group or anything. You really ought to think of it like exercise for the brain.
And you don't need those little finger symbols?
You don't need finger symbols. You don't need to live in a yurt. You don't need to go collect crystals or anything like that. Those are all misconceptions that I used to have, but are really not true. And there's a reason why it is now being studied by scientists, and it's been shown to reduce your blood pressure, boost your immune system, rewire key parts of your brain. It's being adopted by the U.S. military, by corporate giants like Twitter and Google and General Mills, by pop stars, by all sorts of people. So it's really entering the mainstream in a big way.
All right, so we're going to take some questions now. We'll take the email questions here, unless we have any callers. Most of our listeners listen over the computer. So we have tons of questions coming in by email. Your chance, though, to go right to the head of the line, 877-317-6432. Your questions for Dan Harris, ABC News anchor and author of 10% Happier, 877-317-6432. All right, the first email coming in from Dallas, Texas. They want to know what your thoughts are about yoga. And this is interesting because I just started yoga. I've been practicing the martial arts now for 10 years. I'm an instructor in Taekwondo. I'm a second degree black belt, almost a third degree black belt. But I decided the beginning of this year to buy a Groupon and do yoga. And I love it. And I just feel so much better after I go to these 90-minute yoga sessions. This Dallas listener wants to know, is that meditation yoga?
It can be meditation, or it depends on how it's taught. Sometimes it's taught in a way that makes it sort of a moving meditation. Really, in my mind, in order to be doing mindfulness meditation, you need to be focused to the best of your ability on whatever's happening right now. So if you're doing yoga and planning your lunch, that's probably not meditation. But if you're doing yoga in a way that you're totally absorbed in your pose or whatever, then I do think it can be a form of meditation. And let me I may get asked about this, but you said before that that meditation is controversial in Christian circles, and I see that. And I want to be humble here and say that I am not a theologian, nor am I a practicing Christian, and I would never pretend to tell people what they should do with their spiritual lives. And so you certainly shouldn't take my word for it. I would consult your pastor to state the obvious. But I just would note that there are a lot of believing Christians, including friends of mine who are pastors, who do get engaged in various kinds of, centering prayer, which is kind of a form of meditation. And I would just lastly note that there is a guy I know, a theologian, who wrote a book called Without the Buddha, I Couldn't Be a Christian, meaning that Buddhist-based meditation has helped him have a richer prayer life in his Christian belief system.
Yeah, it is interesting. It is one of those topics that, people go, I think mostly uninformed people, frankly, who don't, they consider, meditation, you're praying to Buddha. They don't even want to discuss it. But yet we see the word meditation all throughout the Bible. So I think there's a lot more there. It's much more nuanced, I think, than people want to make it out. So here's a question coming in from Chicago. Great question. Somebody saying they're in AA, they're a recovering alcoholic. They want to know why this is not taught in AA. They want to know if you've spoken to any AA groups, or is there any plans of trying to get your book in the hands of people that are going through Alcoholics Anonymous?
That's a great question. I don't fully know the answer to that question. I thought I had a vague memory that some sort of contemplation or meditation was part of the steps in AA, but I could be wrong about that, probably am wrong about that. Thus far, I'm aware of some research that shows that mindfulness meditation can be helpful with addiction, in particular smoking cessation. So I would imagine that there's a possibility that it would be useful for alcoholics as well. And as we know, with alcoholism, there are often coexisting conditions like depression and anxiety, and meditation has been shown to be very good for both of those.
Now, this person is asking here about, this question's coming in from the D.C. area. I'm laughing because this is me. They're asking about the number of people in this day and age, road rage, people cutting people off, people bumping their cart into you at the grocery store. They go on and on. They want to know if this is what's lacking in our society. This is why so many people seem to be so angry, fighting for that, you know, empty parking space or whatnot. This might be more true in bigger cities than maybe it is where I live in a small town here in Florida. But do you think that this is something about the Western culture that we're missing that makes us all sort of wanting to go postal at the grocery store when somebody's got 11 items in the 10 item line?
I think it's something about the world. I think it's something about the human condition. One, you just need to turn on the news to see that emotional reactivity. In other words, being hijacked by your emotions, being hijacked by the voice in your head, and doing stupid things as a consequence is an epidemic, is a pandemic. And, you know, when we are not in control of our emotions, when we're emotionally unintelligent, we do the things we regret. We say the thing that ruins the next 48 hours of our marriage. We, you know, say things that we regret to our kids. We get involved in road rage, whatever. We, you know, get in a fight with our boss, whatever it is. And this is exactly what mindfulness meditation is good for. It helps you be more aware of what's happening in your head so that you don't get carried away by it.
So it gives you that moment to kind of think about before you say, I hate you and I'm sorry I ever married you. And then
Correct.
Your marriage is over. It gives you that little buffer to decide whether, should I really say that right now because my golf clubs were thrown away by mistake or whatever the crisis is at the moment. It gives you that chance to reconsider what you're about to say. Is that buffer something that over time do you develop that or do you see this right away when you start meditating?
I started to see it within a couple of weeks. And it grows with time. It's a muscle. This is exercise for your brain, so you get better with time. Now, there's a reason why I called my book 10% Happier. It's not going to solve all of your problems. You're not all of a sudden going to be a saint. However, you will develop, and this is a bit of a meditation cliche, but I think it's a good one, the ability to, instead of reacting blindly to stuff, to instead respond wisely. So to respond instead of react. And just having that extra couple of second or nanosecond cushion between your impulse to react and your thoughtful response can make a huge difference in a relationships, in parenting, in a work situation. And that's why it's being adopted so widely by surprising people like Marines and soldiers and corporate executives, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and you know, these 1 second and 2 second decisions we make, they can change your life, folks. Like a guy here in Florida, teenager was playing his stereo too loud. He shot him because they got in an argument. These are the kind of things, you know, maybe that extra second or two of thoughtfulness might prevent things like that. Dan Harris, you're a fascinating guy. Thank you so much for sharing your story with the world and for being with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll be back next Sunday night. This is Jim Paris Live.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You ever hear about Ghost 80% AR-15 rifle kits? At Guns80.com, they are the 80% specialists, helping to protect our privacy. Look, there are forces out there right now trying to register guns for future confiscation. UN treaties threatening our Second Amendment and our freedom. You need a Ghost AR-15. Get it at Guns80.com. Call 844-2-GUNS-80. That's 844-248-6780. Own an AR-15 today and keep it a secret. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com. 844-2-GUNS-80.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your
body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes heart and body extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.